dun 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 dun. Oh boy, you know what day it is, you know what time it is. It's BBSRadio.com, and this is Mission Possible Radio Hour with Boss RJ. That's right, I'm back. This is the 53rd episode. Oh, yes, that's an 8. And with that, I start to communicate. Oh, my goodness, Daniel had us all for friends long before he entered any lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah, we were there, don't you know, and Lot. He knew the facts, and he did not look back. And that jawbone of that ass that Samson held that fell the Philistines, the Philistines. That's the truth, y'all, if you think I'm lying. So give glory to God this great and dreadful day, for the former things are soon to pass away. Because you know what we're going to do. We're going to cage the rage, and we're going to dry all tears. We're going to end all suffering and destroy all fears. We're going to stop the greed. We're going to end all war. And this earth will be paradise like it was before. Oh, let that be the prayer. Oh, let that be the promise. Oh, let it be. Amen. Oh, yeah. Like I said, this is it. This is my show. It's the 53rd show. You know what that means? That means that I've had a complete year of Mission Possible Radio Hour, and I am in the power, and I am in the process. They all start with P's. I'm in the process of now putting together and taking it very seriously, reviewing all of those hours. And that's not to mention what I've got to go through with the Inside Hour. As I was on that too, I'm just looking back, and I tell you, as I speak, gold is 927. You're buying opportunity. It has come and it will come again. Everybody is welcome on the gold train. That's right, because if you're holding on to them little bills, because that's what they are, and Lord knows you have enough bills, and you, well, we're not going to get into that. You know, I got a surprise for my listeners out there today. Oh, yes, and for you at night. I'm looking at the daytime. I don't know what your view is, but mine is of coconut trees and avocado trees dripping with avocados and orange trees. Oh, I'm in Hawaii. Yes. I don't want to rub it in too hard, but the boss has made some good decisions in her life. And so she sits and she watches the sun go down in Hawaii, talking to all of you out there on the coast. And tonight, just because you all been just so good, and I want to break up the monotony, because I tell you, I could get into how the armies now, blaming, start, oh, the fingers, oh, don't get me started. Oh, my goodness, they're trying to blame it on Frank. They're trying to blame it on all them generals. Oh, it's just not going to sit. It's not going to sit. This is when you know the boss says, go read the trilogy, get and bone up, go and get the commanders, go and get plan of attack, and go and get yourself State of Denial. Read what, because I'll tell you, I'm hoping that those three books will be read into the Congressional Journal and stand peer review, and that the whole thing is just what it is, a diary of how it is that men and women now decide to march off or off to war. But we're not going to talk about that. Well, we might get into it with the guest, because he's a well-versed and very astute observer of the universe. I'm not talking about just this here, the American system of government tonight. The boss, I bought in somebody that has got some heady knowledge. Oh my goodness, heady knowledge. And I don't even want, we're not going to use last names unless they want to use them, because I just don't need people to be knowing these people, because once you know these people, you're going to want to talk to them all the time, and they're busy. So I'm going to bring on my guest, because I'm really proud that I got one. You know, when the boss says she got a guest and is going to give it up, you know it must be a doozy. Jeremy, are you there?
Yes, boss.
Oh, boy, I'm so happy to have you on my show this evening.
Me too.
You know, I have just met you, but it felt like I had known you all my life.
Why, thank you. I felt the shock of recognition of a kindred spirit fighting for the oppressed, fighting to understand, a struggle and a commitment. And since I've just come out here, in the last 2 years, my life has completely turned around and into the grace of the very plants and flowers and fruits you were talking about.
Wow.
And it was straight out of Hurricane Katrina that I came to this gentle island.
Yeah, you mentioned it, so I want to get into it. You know, I was going to put that off on the side for a minute, because what I wanted to do was to give people a little bit of flavor. So we're gonna put that off. We'll get into that in about maybe 15 minutes into the show.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to give people an understanding of the type of mind that I am speaking to this evening, you see. As I shared with you at a dinner party, we had many, many, converging moments of yeah, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I'd give you a moment for people to understand who it is that's speaking to them, to give a little bit of insight and background into what your education is and what your experience, in a way, it gives you a chance to, you know, to give people an insight into what you're interested in and what arrived at before you even got to Louisiana.
Of course. Well, to start off with, I'm not singular. I have a twin brother, and we were both very taken and interested in science as children, and pursued it for a long time in college. But also, we were interested in the paranormal abilities that we had with each other. So we were really interested in the fundamental questions of what's behind science, what's larger, and what may we be as humans. And that has evolved over my life, zigzagging between professions, into who we had been in a very different kind of way, pointing at where we may go forward again. I know that sounds a little circular, but my interests have gone from biochemistry, looking into the deep nature of cellular communication, DNA information, how it seems to have several different languages going on at every instant, and how we seem to have several different, almost mirroring, nervous systems going on also. And when I look back through the record of ancient peoples, there's pointers to how they developed their brains, how they developed their nervous systems. And it just absolutely thrills me to see that they were much smarter than we think that they were, or have thought that they were. I'm sorry, RJ, am I going off the point?
No, the point is very well taken, as a matter of fact. I wish that you would go on. What were some of your indicators now when you say that this was occurring?
First of all, I started with biology.
Uh-huh.
And it's very simple that it goes at each rung of DNA's twisty spiral stairway, there's four possibilities. That language is taken three rungs at a time to code for the amino acids. And the amino acids are strung together to form the proteins that do everything else. And this process, four by four by four possibilities, 64, results in 20 different amino acids, plus the start and stop of a protein. So there seems to be a loss of information of 3-1. And I had to really seriously ask myself, did we get to be here by nature shooting herself, you know, twice in the foot for every step forward? I don't think so. Well, very recent information has come to light, literally, a biochemist working with light frequencies named Irina Kosick in Australia wrote a book, The Resonant Recognition Model of Macromolecular Bioactivity, in which she discovered that every protein in the body is activated by light, light that's effulging out of the DNA, and that is using all 64 possible codings for the way that amino acids are coded for, not just the 20 different types. So there's no real loss of information. Well, let me breathe for a second.
That's what you have to do. Just breathe. You've got an hour. You know, it's okay. That breath is there because it is true when you say that. Dr. Len Horowitz, he always is saying there's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Right. Right. And it always seems to keep being smarter. Well, I was trying to understand the way the code was broken down in the genetic code, how these 64 were represented in basically three different groups, three amino acids, and then seven more, and then a total of 22. And the more I asked it and puzzled about it, I suddenly came into possession of an ancient Kabbalistic text, the most ancient, from 500 BC, called the Sefer Yetzirah. And it read like a biochemistry textbook written in the future, with a few more things. And that's when I started to say, I believe that they knew a whole lot more than they were able to commit without a scanning electron microscope or other easily available knowledge.
This we know to be the truth, that there are no mysteries, just mysterious beings that we can't comprehend but could very much be like.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Wow. Now, for me to make sense to you for this, because you have considered it longer than I have arrived, I celebrate the fact that it must be true that we are one in mind. For this is the mastery of a perfect mind that would create such a system and then leave clues in our universe as to how to adapt it and utilize it in our lives.
Well, the work of Irina Kosick on light communication within cells points directly to communication along the nerve channels, what's called the nadi channels in the Indian tradition, and that's light that's being pumped up there for our so-called third brain, our enlightenment brain. That's where that's converging, the ancient knowledges of the biochemistry code and the Kabbalah, the Indian nadi channels and the light mind, and of course the Chinese system, pioneered by Robert O. Becker, who found that the Schwann cells are where the currents are of electricity for the meridian system. So
now,
all three systems. Yes, sorry.
Now, when you say Schwann cells, now, enlighten me on that a little bit, because it's not like you hear these words every day.
Oh, yes, RJ. Each neuron is wrapped in fat-containing cells so that they don't cross-wire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little tiny bit of leakage anyway, like when you bang your finger in the door, the other ones throb too.
Mm.
But what it turns out is that it's not just an insulating layer. There's an electrical current running through it that exactly matches the meridian system. So that would be our second brain, after our nerve brain being our first one.
Hmm. Now, how does that manifest itself into the ability to speak, or is that mean, is there a parallel kind of thing going on even within, like, our speech and motion and action?
Yes, I believe that we are communicating in many subtle directions at once. I think if I understood you right.
Yeah, well, if I said it right, and if it is true, it sure does caution us all to move just a little bit more carefully in the universe, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was trying to meditate today on the fact that, you know, we went up to Mars now. You have some idea of where we are in the universe astrologically. I assume you was sharing with me over dinner about patterns of time and that we are in a pattern of time, and I thought you would enlighten my listeners to this too.
I only know a tiny bit about it. There's an excellent book called Galactic Alignment. But basically, the entire galaxy has a midline. And that midline is, you know, magnetically and electrically charged. It's the exact center. And we don't just spin around the galaxy every couple hundred million years. We also wobble above and below the midline much more often. And we're going to wobble right across the midline of the galaxy in another few years, in 2012. And I think that that'll be a very interesting phenomena. We don't know literally what to expect, but there should be some sort of field effect, electrical field effect, and I believe there should also be some sort of astrological field effect, because that's what astrology is based on, electrical fields.
Well, you were saying more, even more specific in looking at 2008, that there were some very interesting things for us to consider. Would you like to enlighten my listeners on that, Jeremy?
Well, I've looked at a couple of dates, and there's one date that I looked at with the advice of an astrologer who lives down the street. Called me up and told me to look at that date. Had just come back from an astrological conference where they were looking at it. It was the inauguration date of the next president, and it showed an overwhelming and positive form of change.
Wow.
It doesn't say anybody's name associated with it, but it's a very beneficial and positive and sweeping change.
That's January 20th, 2009.
Yes, at noon in the capital for astrologers.
Wow. Well, you heard it first right here on bbsradio.com. That's right. Be there or be square, I guess we'd have to say, huh?
Uh-huh. Positive and massive change.
Yeah. So, we have a person speaking right now who is a mathematician.
Uh-huh.
Correct? Yes? Hello?
Oh, yes.
You are a mathematician?
Informally only.
Only informally. What is your educational background, may I ask?
In biochemistry, ma'am, at MIT, and just a bachelor's. And then a lot of lab research, and then I went in other directions. I learned hypnosis and hypnotherapy and became a hypnotherapist for 10 years in San Francisco. I wrote computer books for Sun Microsystems, all kinds of different things.
So you consider yourself to be a man with a rational mind, that when you experience things, you log them and you try to put them in their place to where you can make some therefores and what nows and all of that, make sense of the universe in some way to enjoy what is given to you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well now, it's important, folks, and this is Boss RJ. You know, I have an agenda tonight. I wanted you to know who he's talking to, because now we're going to get into the what I think is the most beneficial and therapeutic thing that could happen for anybody, and that is to discuss an important event that no one knew was going to be an important event. We had this event, and most of us watched this event from afar, or were have our own tales about what we were doing. I had a friend who was involved in it. She was over in Louisiana, lives here in Hawaii, but was over in Louisiana in New Orleans taking care of her sick daddy who was in a hospital, and she happened to be in a hospital when the storm struck. And tonight my guest, Jeremy, also lived in San Francisco, right? And then you left and moved to
New Orleans. Yes.
New Orleans in 1999?
Right.
Okay. And so there you were living in an existence as a as an artist type?
No, I had students.
You had students.
And I did research privately in chemistry.
Okay, so you was doing your brainiac stuff, mixing the test tubes together and trying to find out what make it all happen and how we can help probably the kind of knowledge that you had. You probably were very close to the AIDS development and what was going on in terms of who was throwing what at who, huh?
My head was buried in my studies a lot.
I can understand
that.
Selective
attention.
Yeah, don't want to get pulled off course. Okay, so here you are. You are in New Orleans, and you are in a warehouse, and I'd like for you, and we'd go through this, because a lot of people don't know the chronological order of this situation that went down. So I was hoping that we might enlighten them with that.
Well, it was, we knew it was going to come and either hit or be near, and a lot of people were leaving. Many people couldn't because there's not many cars in that city per capita. And as it grew short, I invited a few people to the warehouse where I and its owner, a structural engineer, stayed. And we had two cars and about 10 people. And it was a very loud night. I think maybe the loudest I'd heard ever for 6 hours. It was so loud I went unconscious. Really lovely the next morning. And everybody came out of their houses and looked and at each other. And a policeman who's a friend of mine came and checked on us. And it was a strange thing. There were several people taking afternoon naps. We heard these two very large explosions, one right after the other. Huge. Them all over the city. The water had already gone down 10 inches and we're feeling pretty safe. And then my friend, the policeman, came back and said essentially that there was a gigantic hole in the, water was going to be a problem and we were going to have to all leave. And so after that, it filled up. It stayed dry where I am, which is just 2 blocks from the Mississippi. That's high ground. And it was, people were just lovely to each other the following week. There was no violence that I saw. And usually it's a poverty-stricken, you know, have and have not city, and there'd be like 4 or 5 gunshots a night. It was very quiet afterwards. Everybody was helping each other. And everybody who stayed in town who owned a store opened it up and helped people out. And so it really affirmed, really, really basically affirmed my feeling of people being for people.
Now let's get this straight. There was a storm for about 6 hours.
Yes.
And then there was relief. You all went out and you all congratulated yourselves for having survived. They looked around. Things weren't too bad, but things were bad. And then boom, boom, big explosion. Cop comes back, tells you it's going to be major flooding. Now, how many days after the boom, boom did you all wait for help?
We never got it. We left after 6 days.
You left after 6 days.
And what I've heard is that there were a couple of nations out of Oklahoma that came in, Indian nations, to help, and the Canadian Mounties arrived, and then the next day the feds came in. But we left already. I think that was like in the like 8th or 9th day or something.
Yes, and what was the feeling on, like, when you were leaving? How were people getting along then?
Oh, just wonderfully with each other. I mean, it was hot. It was 100 degrees. Everybody was very patiently waiting for anybody to show up with sandwiches and Band-Aids. It was very, people were just real spiritual to each other. I'd never seen such togetherness of no hoods carrying groceries for elderly white people or blind people and asking how they could help. It was just incredibly loving.
Wow.
And so I was just very, very proud of New Orleanians everywhere for it.
Well, what happened? Because what we saw on television certainly wasn't what you're describing at all.
Well, no.
Hello?
Seemed to be.
Do we have somebody else on the line?
RJ, I'm having some sort of electrical problem. If the phone might go out in a couple of minutes.
Oh. Are you on a remote phone?
It doesn't have a plug-in.
Oh.
Next to it on the remote.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we might just have to end this conversation because the boss is really into high-quality shows. And if we're having a technical difficulty on your end, we may just have to, sadly, conclude this conversation and have you back on.
Yes, ma'am. I would be delighted to. I'm so sorry that the phone is blinking out.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I have you on next time. And what we'll do is maybe we'll just have you over here at the house where we won't have that problem.
Okay, it has been really wonderful talking with you, RJ.
Oh, I was getting ready to get in it with you about what you know about Katrina. But there'll be enough time for that. And that was really wonderful because I also want to get into it with you about being a twin. I think that's a trip, too, and I think my listeners would like to hear some more of your observations about your discoveries. And
I'd be delighted to.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So you hang up the phone, and I'll keep going.
All right. Love you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, drats, 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 drats. Oh, you're listening to BBSRadio.com, and I was going to get into it with Jeremy about Katrina, but we're going to hold up on that. Like I was telling you, you know, you got to get the whole story, and sometimes you got to get it from the horse's mouth, and he don't have no reason to lie. He has no alibi or anything to want to lie. He's an intelligent human being, and he's telling you, America, that I, just like him, agree that the whole thing about Katrina was treated more like Jonestown. It almost smacks of an experiment and the need to use force by driving people to the absolute brink of toleration of an understanding of a situation and then bring them forward into a situation where, boom, I am being confronted with guns, I am being herded into stadiums, I am being told to sit down, I'm being told, and the situation gets worse and worse and worse. This kind of treatment is the kind of thing that needs to be gotten to. This is the same kind of treatment that people got when they were trying to vote for Kerry and Edwards back in 2000, and I guess that before, when the shenanigans was going down. And I know, you know, you all know that the boss is going to constantly, constantly keep on telling you, you know, do not miss your opportunity to at least peruse the trilogy. I can't even begin to tell you how important this is going to be. Especially those of you out there who are for Obama and for change. It is important for you all to really do your homework when it comes to this thing called the Iraq War and to really understand how it all worked with these here oil men. It's not enough for us to even have been hit over the head, you know, Operation Iraqi Liberation, OIL, or had to change it very quickly to Operation Iraqi Freedom, you know, it all works for me because I know that these cowboys have a sense of, a wicked sense of humor. And it's important for you all to see the irony of it all. It's not lost on me. It should not be lost on you, the awakened listener. These people are living it right out in front of you, and they are saying it, and they are showing you, here they come, the dinosaurs of the past, all ready to cover their own ass. That's right, I said it. That's exactly what's happening here, and what it is it's putting a spin on business. Now, what we have here, folks, is like, this is not just about oil. This is about how they do business in futures. Now today, they all up in arms saying those nasty speculators. Oh, those nasty speculators. They're the ones that have driven the price of oil up. Okay, well, how about all of you exploration speculators? Texon and Chevron and all of you went over there and found out that you can't get the oil out of the ground, that the oil that's down in the ground is the kind of oil you don't want to bring up. And the kind of oil, America, that the Saudi Arabians want to start pumping is not the kind of oil we need in our environment. So here we go, folks. We're going to pay big money through the nose for an inferior quality crude. Uh-huh, yeah. Now they done driven us over. Why? Because what they thought they was going to have to where they could wage a war and put the Middle East in their place didn't materialize. And all of that money down the toilet for a few measly billion barrels of oil, not the 200 trillion barrels of oil that they thought they were going to get. Now, when this happened, that put a spin on everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, you really better understand why it is that we are so wrong, why it is that America is going to have to clean house, and America is going to have to come up with some war criminals to feed the hungry world to explain this mess. And if Obama don't deliver these criminals up, then what was he born for in the first place? Yeah? That's the hope. That's the change. Is that the President of the United States will raise his hand and say, I do, and then get to doing. That's what it's about. My father said, if you can't respect the man, respect the position he holds. And I've been doing that ever since he told me so. And that's why everything is just fine with me, the boss. I sit and I talk and try to remind you when they start talking about Wesley Clark, or when they start telling you about Brzezinski, or they just bringing out the old dinosaurs from the Carter age. They just bringing out the people that made the front page. But you don't remember them because you don't have a front page. You don't have click, click, click. You know, you got Yahoo and Google, but you don't have the hard copy. And that's what people respect, and that's where your research come in, you know? And that's where it's all at, is to follow that trail. That trail, like all my friends say, follow the money. I have been following the money. I've been following the money since Adam Smith, huh? He wrote the treatise, The Wealth of a Nation. What's it stored up in? Our ability to wage war, it appears. That's exactly what it is. I got my friend over here trying to fight a fungus, and she got Clorox smelling in my nose. Hello? Oh, sometimes dream. I have a dream that one day someone will call in and say, you know, boss, I want to keep you company for a minute. You know? I want to give you rest and tell you a hallelujah and amen. But I guess that's in the future. I don't know. This format of talk radio, this is funky and it's fine for me, the boss, because, you know, I got a lot to tell you and there's a lot to tell you. I wasn't prepared to tell you tonight, but I can't get sentimental about July, you know, because it's a time when we all start going for the summer and stuff. And I really feel for everybody because it ain't happening, you know. The whole thing is just kind of going kaplooky. Oil is going out, and people are trying to have a good vacation, and gee whiz, it's like, holy smokes, can you handle it? Yeah, I think we can handle it. With God, all things are possible. But know that there's some kind of bait and switch going on, and when they start talking about those evil speculators, you know what those evil speculators are? They're all the little guys, you know, they get ready to shake the tree, and And this is all going to end up with a crisis in some part of the world that we can't even pronounce. And it's going to be waged because I already see that no matter whether we get McCain or whether we get Obama, ain't nobody talking peace. They all talking actionable. I mean, the boss, I know one of my shows where I was really getting on and I was talking about actionable intelligence. what about intelligence? You know, they say that there's life on Mars. You know, I mean, you can support life. And they say the soil will support life. What about the soil here on the planet Earth? You know, it's like we've come so far to look so stupid. I was there at the World's Fair in 1964. You know, I was in one of those boats, and it was going by the Carousel of Progress and all, and they see the small world after all. When we get to the Africans, they got spears. You know, I came away with the thought that the African nations were armed, but I guess since 1964, they done took care of that, huh? Oh, well, anyhow. The boss just going off, because, you know, I am a citizen, and I do experience America from two points of view. One is, you know, and that's the one where I constantly stay in, but on Sunday, the first day, which is the first day of the week for me, you know what I'm saying, is to let you know what's going on. And all I'm going to say is the fingers are out and they are starting to point. And it's at this point that you really want to get out your scissors and you want to get out your bookmarks and you want to start putting it down, because here's where everybody going to get on board and say what they know. And if you have the knowledge that's in the books that Bob has bothered to write about and the interviews that he has had with all of these people when they was all puffed up and proud, now they all running for the hills. You know, I didn't say that. Sure you did. Prove it. I don't want to get into it. Just go away. But we can't let them go away too far, you know, because they have some explaining to do. Because our boys and now girls are over there in the Middle East thinking they doing some good for themselves in the future by being a veteran of some stupid war, because these businessmen realize we need that Iraqi oil. And here's the real good clincher about it. Prior to this whole fiasco, they was pumping lots of good crude. But now, we taking over. They can hardly get a million or 2 million a day out of Iraq. Where's that leaving us? It's leaving us behind. So here comes Saudi Arabia. Now that the price is right, you see what I'm saying? Can't you see it, folks? Do you care? I care. You open up the opening of State of Denial. Who is speaking? Or George Bush Sr. speaking. Who's he speaking to? The ambassador of Saudi Arabia. And he's the one who says he'll school his son on how to deal with foreign policy. You know, it's very true when you think about it, and I've said it time and time again, that Osama bin Laden, he did ask a very good question when he asked who benefited from the partitioning of Palestine. Duh. Huh? Can you answer that question? Well, be the person that was sending over the pipe. It'd be the person that had the job to build the pipeline. Well, then, why don't you go ahead and tap, Trans-Arabian Pipeline. Check out the history. Type these things into the search engine. Bone up. And, you see, it's kind of like why I said last week. It's like, America has got some kind of serious dementia going on, and the world knows it, you see, because we're the only ones that think that we're interested in the facts. The world knows we don't give a fat's rat butt about the facts of a case or the facts of an incident or the facts of anything, and I can chapter and verse tell you that, because every incident that when you look into it, you can look at it, you can see the very Nazi foundation being thrown at you with this, oh, you got to believe me because I say it's true. And I would never say nothing that isn't true, so you got to believe me. Uh-uh. No. Not when it comes to politics and not when it comes to the military. Oh, no. Police. That's why they have to do what they do. They have to put us to sleep, you know? And then they have to turn it all on us, peaceful, loving people who sit up here saying, well, you know, I've been waiting to see what you's going to do, but it seemed like you're going to really do it. It don't seem like any of your prayer or meditation seems to want to let you stop yourself from doing it. And I'm like, whoa, well, okay. Seems like people are okay with it. What am I going to do? Well, the boss say, week by week, I'm going to try and speak to the things that are happening. Everybody's happy. Everybody's snappy. The summer is here. Everybody get ready and look to and be with the family. And let's do the impossible, which is to do less, you see. What's important now is they are putting the squeeze on us for you to prioritize all of your needs and to single out that which you know to be part of the whole money laundering scheme. And I'm talking about the movies. Mm-hmm. All those tickets that never get sold and all those box office billions of dollars that they say are made on movies. That ain't real. But what is real, the movie money moves through the movies. And that's all I have to say about that. The boss tells you, you want to look at where all the money's being laundered, look to the movie industries. That's why they're all up in arms now and why they can't seem to keep it in their labor busting and everything else because they're getting all too political. So they got to be put in their place. I may be wrong. I might be right. But there's value in what I'm saying to you tonight. Holy cow. Anyhow, yeah, this is BBSRadio.com and you're listening to The Boss. And come this time next year, we'll be celebrating the live H2O concert. That's right, the concert for 144,000 voices. Yes, and the boss is going to be lending her voice, her golden voice, to the sound. For we must heal ourselves, and I know the power of the frequency. That's something else me and Jeremy were going to get into tonight, is the frequencies. And the man is a superior mind, you know, and has gone off into all kinds of areas that will enlighten us. And the thing I like about him is that he can explain it in a way which we understand, you know, and what you don't understand, he give you a reference, you know. I'm so proud of him. We over here in Hawaii, we don't have enough books. He brought his whole entire library over here to Hawaii. People are doing what's important to them and making contributions in their own community. He believes that we need to have the sciences, we need to have the math, we need to have the studies, the astrology, the ability to look up. Kind of reminds me of that story that someone told me about meeting an alien, and the alien kept asking me, he said, well, you know, where are you from? And the alien pointed to the star chart and said, well, first you show me where you are, and I'll then be able to tell you where I'm from. And, you know, and so then the guy's staring at it, and he can't seem to find Earth, which is nothing but a star in his galaxy. And so then he says, I can't find Earth. And he says, well, if you can't find where you're from, why are you interested in where I come from? Yeah, that's how the alien's logic, you know what I'm saying? It's a humorous type of thing. I think that it's more similar to Chinese probably than any, inventors of torture. Got to remember that, folks. You know, they are very childlike when it comes to war. So we don't want to get into it with the Chinese no more. That's why, you know, Nixon opened up China, supposedly. But what happened was is that the Cultural Revolution and Mao was starting to get kind of soft and realizing that although you may have all the people lined up in a row, what you going to sell them, you know? And the whole idea is to survive. And so, therefore, you know, there had to be a softening. And Nixon took that as a way to kind of offset his defeat in Southeast Asia, which was his defeat, you know. That's what the whole Pentagon Papers was all about, you know, in 1971 and the release of them and why it was important that they not be released. But they were released. And even though McNamara played it down and everything, the study was issued. And because LBJ already realized that he was losing a grip on it and that his time was over and there was no need for him to run anymore, that Nixon was given the ball. And in giving the ball, that's when, you know, the whole idea of the war and how we were going to approach it and who was going to end it and who was going to open up China, which always was America's jewel to exploit. And somehow or another, it's been set off to the side. And now, that we are there. It seems like it's not what we thought it was going to be, and nor is she going to roll over as easily as we thought she would. So that, so much for 1972 on down to 2008 for China, and now the Olympics. Oh my goodness, it's just getting good, folks. I got about 10 minutes left. I'm not sure if there's a show after me, but it doesn't matter, because you know the boss does a tight show. Yes, that way I can get them all in on a delicious CD. That'll all be programmed and got nice little blurbs about who it is and what I was talking about. And as I look back, I am absolutely amazed and blessed at the accuracy at which I am able to call our thing, our American system of government, called foreign policy. And it's important that a lot of us begin to speak of it. That's going to be hard to do with the domestic front being so askew this summer and into November. And it is going to be an idea that perhaps America will vote her pocketbook. And it is going to be the candidate that can show a growth out of a cadaver of an American government that is spending more money every day to maintain its supremacy in the world. And it's kind of like, you know, a junkie that just can't get enough stuff. And that's not very good posture for an American government to conduct itself out. So maybe we are in for a change, and the next president will be able to stand up and admit that it's all bonkers, and that we got to become a more humble nation, and that we need to help the oppressed, and that's within our own borders. Oh, my gecko guru just clicked. You know, every time I hear the gecko, it says, you on it, you know, we agree with you. Even the animal life and the bird life and all the life in the world realizes it. But there's something real scary going on with Russia and Poland and missiles being set up. So, you know, we need to type these things in, those of you who have. That's the beauty of radio and community radio and BBS radio, because you can hear something and then go and type it in. I would say one of the more interesting things to type in would be Caspian oil crash, because that'll give you an idea of what was going on with the Bush administration prior to 2001 and what the bad news was and how long it took them to put the whole scheme together, just like the Reichstag fire. See, it's not enough just to say it. You got to have motive, you know? And there's so much motive here. It must scare the Congress and senators every day they go to work. It must really scare them to wonder whether or not they're gonna take over and just shoot up the whole place and just kill everybody and just do it all over again. And you know, expecting the government to see the killers in Congress killing everybody up, and then next thing you know, the president coming on and saying, okay, it's time to get back to normal. You know, we suffered a loss here, and we will prevail. You know, that's kind of like the way it was. But I always say, type in like Caspian oil crash, then go and type in chapter 18 of The Prince. You know, and that's what the beauty of the web is all about. It's like you can type these words in chapter 18 of The Prince, which is Machiavelli's work, and you can then read it, and then you can see for yourself where it is, and anybody that is willing to be a leader has to be willing to sacrifice his, constituency, I guess, because right now they're not throwing princes at you anymore. They're throwing all kinds of just ordinary people, you know, trying to get off welfare, trying to go to college, trying to have a life, trying to make ends meet, trying to pay for that SVU that they... Or, you know, trying to get out of a failed marriage or away from the kids, they all, you know, over the anti-rock. People got all kinds of reasons for being there. And most of them are not because they love democracy. That is for sure. That's the mind control, is this willful idea that we should Americanize the entire region of the world. I am not of that. After having traveled to faraway places, I realized, boy, they've got nothing. I mean, they've got nothing, and they're so much more happier than we are over here. You know, it's like, it's too much for me to even think about sometimes. They are so happy, and they just don't have anywhere near the kind of problems that we have. But yet, with every step of democracy that we are bringing them, we bring them problems. We bring new things for them to consider that never were in their world, just like the kinds of things that are going to be creating problems for us that were never in our world before. It's like, you know, electronic transfer of monies and blips and beeps on computer screens that just don't really have any value behind them except that they are blips and beeps on a computer screen, you know. And in doing so, there is a lot for us to consider, you know. Part of what we can talk about next week, as I get into it, I'm going to be harping, a little bit more about our energy needs, or greed, as one might say, and to really kind of put in perspective that which you're starting to see about the war and how, of course, we know after Desert Storm and in 1991 and all, that our boys were rushed over there in a hurry and vaccinated and inoculated and ate all kinds of stupid prepared processed foods in antibiotic paper wrappers and all kinds of newfangled rations that were experimented on these boys and the drinks and the diet soda sitting out in the sun and the methyl ethyl and the wood brain and the whole thing. Oh, I feel so sorry for him. But I knew this was going to be coming, and no one would believe me if I told you how I knew. I was visited by a Navy man, and he left a book behind, and it was 1987 or 88, and in it, it was one of those highfalutin magazines that only the guys that, you know, graduate from, you know, the colleges where they train in the war stuff, do they get to see this stuff? Because, like, they're going to be, like, you know, not ensigns or lieutenants or something, you know? And anyhow, he left all this paperwork. He left very quickly. And he left all these magazines and things behind. And so I started reading them, and one of them was quite interesting, and it's held in my head. The boss has held this one in her head for a long time, and it was talking about a naval scholar, Mayhem, or something like that. But then it got to this article where it talked about the crisis in the Turkish Straits. And then it talked about how the Navy was the only thing that we really was going to need, and that the objective was to reduce our armies, you see, because we don't need them very much anymore. Just small marine forces, special forces, and I guess now you would include also the Defense Institute and all of them. So with that, it would make sense that what I was reading back in 88 is now coming true. But the way they did it is the same way they're doing it to us. It's that they're poisoning these men, committing them to a sentence of death. And not only now death for them, but to their families because they associate with them. And that in itself is a very sad thing. But that in itself is the reality of this fascistic, I don't even know if that's a word, government that has been in place and has been allowed to do what it does through its own secret ways of doing it. And that's what I object to. That's what the boss of Mission Possible objects to. That's what Reverend Roxy Hampton prays about. That somehow or another we can stop all this insane playing and turn around and, like, in a wonderful life, you know, somehow or another we can all forgive each other and actually, you know, like Dickens, you know, have ourselves a nice Christmas, you know. But that's going to take a big turnaround, and it's going to take us really having to look straight on it ugly, straight on it stupid, and challenge them one more time. This executive privilege has got to go. And you've got to encourage people to become more rebellious in their thought about this government so that we are able to force them to the table to explain themselves one more time. This is what truly is necessary. And once we can do that, and to do it without being under the sword of being incarcerated or being mocked or shot up with all kinds of drugs because they think you're crazy or pulling you out of your house late at night into the night in fog like they did back in Nazi Germany. You know, as we speak, it's for people to do their homework. And if I am guilty of telling a lie, if I have mismanaged my faith and my trust on this here radio station, then come and prove that to me. But if I am laying down that which is there for you all to know, if you have the time to do it, then please don't give me your antagonistic skepticism. Just get in line and get ahead, for stupid is behind us. And the whole issue of the day is don't push. Learn from us how to be good, how to be good citizens, and how to take care of those that need taken care of. And that goes for the rich and the poor, too. And with that, I've done my whole show. It's time for me to go. And before I leave, I must tell you this. I love you in a way in which I know will show, because I am here to tell you that God is here to tell you that we must go. And that is it. And when we really understand that, then we will prepare together, play together, and do all things together, because it will be the last time. And everything will always be the last time. And in feeling that, you feel the glow of love. And that is the most important thing to feel. But that truly is the real gold of the 21st century. So good night. Have a great week. And I hope to talk to you real soon. Aloha.